I had the pleasure of sitting down to chat with Amy McLaren about her debut book, Passion to Purpose, a seven-step journey to shed self-doubt, find inspiration, and change your life and the world for the better. Our conversation was informative of how she created a life she loved just by following her passion for travel and giving back internationally. I just love this book. I consider it my new handbook in using the practical tips and tools outlined throughout. A little about Amy. This busy mom of two splits her time between leading Lady Strength, a growing online community of driven entrepreneurial women, growing an Airbnb business, and being a hands-on CEO of Village Impact, the charity she and her husband founded more than a decade ago. Village Impact partners with communities in rural Kenya to provide community-led access to quality education and entrepreneurship opportunities. To date, Village Impact has built 14 schools that deliver education to nearly 5,000 students daily. In Amy's debut book, a cross between The Promise of a Pencil and She Means Business, Passion to Purpose is a hands-on guide to discovering your passion, living your purpose, and positively impacting the world. Amy McLaren's passion for world travel and education kick-started her journey from unfulfilled school teacher to running a global charity. But Amy is not suggesting you do what she did. You won't find a cookie-cutter template to start a business or a nonprofit. Living a passion-fueled, purpose-driven life is about reconnecting or connecting for the first time to your deepest passions. It's doing more of what you love and living your life to your fullest potential, even beyond your current imagination, to do more good in your life, in the lives of people you care about, and in the world. Amy walks you through the process of making that happen. You know, I love a good walkthrough in leading women to develop their passions while intentionally living their lives. I am excited for you to hear our conversation and start your journey of finding and following your passion to purpose. So grab your morning cup and let's dive in. Welcome to Mama's Morning Cup Podcast. On this podcast, hang out with Quinn and guests who are also fellow mamas who will bring candid conversations covering the five pillars of inspiration, family, health, career, and books. Mama, we need to fill up our cups while juggling careers, our dreams, and a family. Mama's Morning Cup is a weekly podcast just for you to set your week up with intentional stories, joy, laughter, and a moment to yourself. My name is Quinn Minier, and I'm the host of Mama's Morning Cup. I am a mama of 1,000 kids that love to encourage and inspire fellow mamas and fill their cups with intention. You can find me most days wearing leggings and reading a good book. Each week, I'll be popping into your ears to remind you that you are not alone in this journey we call motherhood. Go behind the scenes of my chaotic household that should be a reality show, my opinions and views of this world, and hear from other women who will inspire us through stories of inspiration, family, career, and their health journeys. This is Mama's Morning Cup. All right. So, hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I am so happy and excited to talk to you today and chat about your new book and all of the things. So, welcome and thank you for joining me.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
No problem. So, I read your debut book, Passion to Purpose, and it's definitely my new handbook.
Oh.
So many parts of it spoke to me, and I am so glad to talk about it today. And as much as I want to read some parts of your book to you that stood out to me, I think it's best to leave it to you to give us the stories. And so before we jump into all of that, I want to hear, and I want you to tell us, who is Amy McLaren?
Yeah, so Amy McLaren, it's myself, and I'm a busy mom of two kids. So I have a 7-year-old little guy we adopted from South Africa, and I have a biological daughter named Marla who is 10. And I often joke that I feel like she's a teenager already, which kind of scares me. And I'm sure maybe some of the moms that are listening can relate to that. And I also am a multi-passionate entrepreneur. So I do have three different businesses that I like to run. I have my nonprofit called Village Impact that I run. And then I also have a lady strength business that brings women together to go on adventurous, fun trips that gets them out of their comfort zone and has its own community. And then my new recent venture is into the Airbnb business for luxury real estate. So those are my three. I did not start them all at the same time. Those are like my journey, basically from one to the other over 10 or 12 years. And I've been married to my husband, Stu, for almost 15 years. We've been together 20 years, which is pretty crazy because it's like, I'm just sharing my age now, but like half of my life because I'm like 41. So we've been together forever. Yeah, and I'm Canadian, but born in the UK and moved when I was 10. So I still consider myself British, because I go to England quite a bit, and all of our family is still there. It is just only my mom and my dad that are here in Canada. So that's me in a little nutshell. And I love tea. I like to drink lots of tea.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite tea? I have to know.
Earl Grey. I love Earl Grey with cream. I love regular
Nice.
Tetley tea, but or whenever I drink Earl Grey, it has to have cream.
Nice. You know, my daughter, she's 9. She loves tea. Well, she's coming to love tea, and she's been adding cream to hers. So I have to try that.
Yeah, it tastes so good. I love it.
Definitely. I'm a coffee person, which I'm trying to kick that habit.
That's okay. Coffee smells. I always find coffee smells so good, but I just don't like the taste of it. I never have. I drink so much tea, but coffee, I love the smell, but yeah, I just can't drink it. The taste doesn't do
Yeah,
anything.
the taste, it's the cream that has the flavor.
Yeah, that's the secret.
The so yeah, you said you have two children. So can you share with us what has your motherhood journey been like?
Yeah, so my motherhood journey has been different and maybe the same as a lot of women and moms out there. But as I said, I have a adopted little guy named Sam. I adopted him when he was one. That was an 8-year adoption journey. That in itself is another story that I write about in my book that had a lot of heartache and emotional roller coaster. And then I have my daughter who is 10, that is our biological daughter. And we chose as a family, we've always wanted to adopt, actually before we even had Marla. We wanted to have adopt one and have our own. So that's like the outside. But when you go into the inside, my journey as a mom has been interesting. And it was funny because we were chatting about this before we hit record. And you know, I was even talking about it with my husband this morning. So I'm like, we're talking about the stages and going back to that moment, like when Marla was born and even before that. And when we thought about it, I was okay, these are the stages. So my first one was avoidance. Like I wasn't really someone that like looked at wanting kids. Like I knew I kind of did, but I was never excited about having kids. It wasn't like, oh, I want to have so many kids by this age. So I kind of like, I think I avoided it because I didn't really know if I truly wanted it. And then I went into fear. Because I was terrified that if I had kids, I would lose myself and I would lose my identity and I couldn't do everything that I wanted to. And so there was like that fear part that then went into working with that and then obviously having my daughter Marla. And that went into a very uncomfortable stage because I had a healthy pregnancy, but man, I was sick every single day. And here we are 10 years later, and I still remember it like yesterday. They say you forget, but I don't forget.
No, you don't really forget.
No. And it was like, I remember pulling over on the side of the road, throwing up, like
Wow.
all through my pregnancy, all the way to having an emergency C-section and throwing up in there. And like, it was just really hard. And then of course, I was nursing and I had difficulty nursing, and I have, my boobs are pretty small to begin with. So when you have babies and they get really big, I'm like, I didn't even, it's like, I have, what do I do? Like, I have none. And all of a sudden I have these massive boobs, and I'm just like, it was uncomfortable and I didn't like it. So I went through that uncomfortable stage to then like realizing this stage of acceptance where, you know what, I can make it my own journey. Like, I went through all those stages and I kind of got to that. And then I realized, you know, I can make this my own journey. It doesn't have to be like everyone else's journey that keeps telling me all these different stories about how I can't travel anymore and I won't be able to do this. And I kind of blocked those out and focused on what we wanted as a family unit, and then as kind of me, myself. And then I went on to pursuing my entrepreneurial stuff while still teaching, because I was a grade one teacher for 10 years before entering the entrepreneurial world. And then I went through this kind of guilt stage, and maybe some moms can relate to this, where, you know, you start building your business and then you feel guilty that you're not at home or you're doing this and you're doing that. And there was one thing that changed my frame of mind that I think would be helpful to those listening, a little story. And this really changed and really set me up for where I am today after I've been through all of these stages. But today, I'll never forget, I was laying in bed with Marla and snuggling, reading a story like you do. Like, she was five. No, she was six, I think. And we were, that next morning, this is before COVID, I was heading out to speak at Amy Porterfield's event, entrepreneurial event. And I was going to do a trip for my Lady Strength community. So we were going to, on an RV down the coast of California. We were going to do all these fun things. So I'd be away for about just under two weeks. And she was like, but Mom, I don't want you to go. And I'm like, oh, like, no, I really want to. She's like, oh, but I'm going to miss you. You should be here with me. And like, you know, the whole guilt of like, oh no, maybe I shouldn't go. Maybe I shouldn't. But then I said to her, I'm like, well, Marla, you know, you love horseback riding. And would it be fair if I asked you to not do any more horseback riding? And she was like, oh, she's like, well, no, because I really enjoy it. And I said, well, I really enjoy traveling. I really enjoy talking about our nonprofit and raising money and like pushing myself out of my comfort zone to do these things. And that's something I enjoy. And she's like, no, she's like, you're right. She's like, okay. And then we talked about it some more and we left it. But that, I think that moment for her and I was a learning moment for her, but also for me to share those feelings, right? Because as parents and as an owner of a business and a mom, like, it's important for our kids to see us do hard things, to fail, and to follow our passions and follow what we love to do. And I think at that moment she realized that, you know, I'm mom but I'm also a friend, I'm also a wife, I'm also a leader. Like, there's all these other identities that come with me. And so from that point on, it's been a really interesting journey. Like, it's gotten, you know, not that it's gotten better, but a greater understanding as she gets older that how important it is for mom to still have what she loves to do, and then us to still have our family time with that as well. So that's my journey, from avoidance to fear to uncomfortable to acceptance to I think I've got it, but I'm still learning.
Yes. And I love how you broke it down into different stages. I've never even thought about that, because there is acceptance, there is fear, there's all of that. And I absolutely love that you took the time to talk to her and explain to her, like, what's fair. Is it fair if I ask you to give up something, but yet I'm still human too. I'm your mom, but yet I have wants and needs as well. I love that. And I want to say it gets easier because I have teenagers. But it doesn't.
I'm scared for the teenagers.
I can't even lie, because I have a 13-year-old daughter who's coming into her own, and the questions get tougher. They get tougher. Yeah. And yeah.
I'll be calling you. What do I do?
Just call me up. I'll have a lot of experience by the time Marla hits that age. Your book. Okay. So you say you're a multi-passionate person. Mm-hmm. I myself can relate. So your book, it's an amazing 7-step journey to shed self-doubt, which we all have, finding inspiration and changing your life and the world for the better. So tell us, what does passion mean to you and how do you define it?
Yeah. So, you know, passion to me is something that gets you really excited. It's like passion is like what your unique contribution is. Do you know what I mean? It's like something that, like, when you go to a dinner party and It's all you talk about. Like, I know we all have those
Mm.
topics that you could sit and talk to someone to forever. Like, for myself, it's those three. It's either travel, my giving back, how we give back as a family, how we give back as a business, and then my real estate stuff. Like, always have so many tabs open. Like, it's stuff that you look at, that you read, that you're up all night looking at because it gets you so excited. So passion to me. And I also think of, when I think of passion, I think of my daughter, not to mention her, but to mention her again. Like, when she reads, she's an avid reader. Like, she reads more books than I do. And like, her books are solid 500 page novels. Like, they are solid
Wow.
books, right? And she's always been like that since she was little. But when she reads, she's in the moment and everything else like melts away. And you can't even like have a conversation because she's just really into her story. She's passionate about the characters in the story and the outcome in the story and telling me all about the setting and like like she just goes into this whole world and she's passionate about it. It's like when you're thinking about something you're passionate about, you're so excited about what those possibilities might mean. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I read that book where like this passion mindset is a possibility mindset. And it's when you're in that time, you don't think of anything that can go wrong because you're thinking of all these things that can go right. So whatever you're thinking about, whatever lights you up, whatever gets you excited, to me, that's your passion.
Definitely. And me and Marla could be friends because I love reading. And I think I read your book. I'm on the second time reading it, of course.
Oh,
I
thank you.
read your book so fast because I was like, yeah, this is me. I have to find out the secret. Like, how do I define this? So I get it. And I get lost in books as well. So me and Marla definitely could be friends.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So you said that you have a passion for travel and helping others. Can you walk us through how your passion for travel and helping others led you to building a nonprofit and building schools in rural Kenya?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, I grew up in the UK. So I moved to Canada when I was 10. And I always I was really great. Well, I'm very grateful. But like I grew up in a family that traveled a lot. Being in the UK, you can travel many places, right? Very quickly. And I miss that now. Living in Canada, everything's so far away. Like when
No.
you're in the UK, you could fly to Greece for a weekend, or before
Wow.
COVID, like you could do all these things, right? Because things are a lot closer. So we did travel a lot as a family, but what we did do that I think has been kind of been a connection or threaded into my life throughout is the whole concept of giving back. My mom was big in inviting strangers to our house at Christmas time sometimes, or for Thanksgiving, or whatever it may be, that had nowhere to go. And she never wanted anyone to be by themselves. Like, we would volunteer at homeless shelters, we would go to elderly homes with the elderly and talk to them. And so, like, that giving back, I've been doing it since I was a kid. So, I think that was threaded in my childhood. And then when I was in my teenage years, I did the same thing. I volunteered at the hospital. I was always volunteering, doing something. And then we got into university and I was teaching English overseas, but then volunteering as well. I volunteered teaching English as well. I lived with like Thai families. I lived in refugee camps because any which way that I could help. So that I'm constantly doing that. And then the kind of turning point for where Village Impact came for our charity was a really mundane moment, a really boring moment. And it's so funny because in life, right, you think, oh, that moment where something changes or you pivot will be like this amazing time. But it's really not sometimes when you look back at your life, right? And for us, like it came, Stu and I at this point, I think we've been married a couple of years. I was still teaching. So before entrepreneurship, I taught grade one for 10 years. And I was kind of at the end of my teaching career in that I liked teaching, but I didn't love it. And I wanted to leave, but I didn't really know what I was doing. And I was struggling in that point too, where, I'm a teacher, I don't like it, I don't love it. Like what? So I was in that point. Anyway, so we were sitting on the couch and we were watching Oprah's Big Give on a Friday night. And Oprah's amazing, right? We all want to be Oprah. Like Oprah, it just does some phenomenal work. And we were sitting watching her show, The Big Give. And I said to Sue, I'm like, wow, I love this show. And we were both crying. And in a sense, if you haven't watched it before, she would go into these communities and she would transform them by, giving back or help building another school or whatever it may be for that community, what they needed. But it was all within North America. And I said to Stu, I'm like, that's it. I'm like, I want to do what she does. But of course, for me, because my passion's international travel, I'm like, I don't want to do it here. I want to go overseas. Like, I want to go back to what I was doing before I started teaching, where it was like, you know, living with other families in different cultures and learning from them and helping them and like working together as a team and, you know, learning about myself as much as I'm helping them. And this was 2 weeks before Christmas. And he's like, Amy, like, when do you want to do it? And I'm like, well, Christmas, because I'm a teacher and I only get Christmas off. I don't have that, right? Like, I to like go whenever I wanted. Christmas was it. So long story short, we did. We created a fundraiser. We raised, I think, about $14,000 in a short fundraiser we did online. We took the money to El Salvador at that time. We helped several orphanages. We lived with a family up in the mountains. And it was on the way back from that trip that Stu was like, okay, like, I think I understand what you want to do. And it was messy. I mean, we were running that through our business. And then we did it again, and we ran it through our business again, because I didn't know how to start a charity.
Wow.
So that was both starting a charity. Right? And that's the messy part. Like, I didn't know how to start a nonprofit. And then, so then I started researching how to do it. It took us a couple of years in Canada to get status. It takes much longer to get a charitable status. And that kind of was our beginning to, and then you to today, like 10 years later, you know, we've built 15, well, this is our 15th school. We built 14 schools, partnered with the government. We work together with other organizations to help create change. And there's, you know, some of our schools have 330 kids, upwards to 740 kids. And it's, but that all started on the couch watching Oprah's Big Give, drinking wine and crying. Wanting to do it. And that was really the turning point. Like, that was where we'd always given back as a couple and, you know, individuals and families, but that first fundraiser was the very beginning of what today is known as Village Impact today.
Wow, that's an incredible story. And just going from sitting on a couch watching Oprah to building 15 schools is unbelievable, first of all. Secondly, is this when, I think I read in your book, you had like $300 in your bank account or something?
Yeah. So that was our first fundraiser. We went to El Salvador. And then we we'd always had a heart for Africa. Stu and I have always, I don't know what it is. We didn't have any family from Africa. We'd never been to Africa, but we both felt pulled to that continent. So we went from El Salvador. The next year we went to Africa and we went to Ghana. And we got the contact through a volunteer organization that I had worked with in the past in like my 20s. And so they sent us over to Ghana. We went to Ghana, stayed in a refugee camp. It was okay, but I didn't like where the money was going. I felt like it wasn't good. I didn't have a good feeling about it. So we got, and we were doing all kinds of things. It wasn't just schools. It was healthcare. It was medical supplies, was all these different things. And I felt like we were putting a Band-Aid on everything and we weren't really having an impact. And it just didn't feel good. So then we went back home. We went back to the drawing board and said, that's not it. Is there somewhere else? And then they directed us to Kenya. And that's where we've been since. And that story I write about in the book with the $300 is when we landed in Kenya, we went with a wonderful lady named Irene, who we still work with today. And she has her own nonprofit in Kenya.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we met with her at a hotel and we explained that we wanted to do a school because we feel like giving the gift of education is something that can't be taken away. But we want, and I expressed how I wanted to work with other organizations and partner, like I want to learn as well. And, and she's like, okay, I think I have a spot. And she drove us out to this middle of nowhere. There was nothing there. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, this place could really use a school. And she gave us all the reasons why. We met with the community. We met with some of the elders. And I'm like, she's like, okay. And I said, okay, so how much is it going to cost? And she's like, well, probably about $100,000. And
wow.
And yeah, and she's like, okay. And she's like, do you want to partner with other organizations? Because I have several contacts. We could do it together. But at that point, I was like, no, I want to do it myself. Like, I was really determined to build one school by myself. And a school isn't just a classroom. Like, it's 8 classrooms. It's a lab. Like, it's a huge buildings. And Yeah, and I at that point we had $340 in the bank account, and Stu's like, "Are you crazy, Amy?" He's like, "We can raise $100,000," and I'm like, "We can do it. I don't know how, but we're gonna do it." And we came home and we kind of reached out to several friends and said what we would like to do and broke it down into classrooms so people could donate a classroom at a time. And we got 10 friends. They all donated 10,000
Wow.
each. They all came to Kenya with us that following year, opened the school. And then I like to say we had 100% retention because the same people donated again, and we built our second
Wow.
school, which was a high school. And then it kind of began to get momentum from there and move on. But yeah, we didn't have that much money in the bank to be able to help with that. But I think when you follow what you're passionate about, and that's what I talk about in the book, it's like following your passion leads to your purpose. And I think this is part of our purpose. I love traveling. I love working with other people. I love learning from other cultures and being in that environment. And that's kind of led to what Village Impact is and what I get to do.
Wow. Either A, you're just brave or fearless or both. I don't know how you are traveling to these different continents and everything else with $300 in your pocket. I don't know if I could do that. That's
It's funny.
just
It's funny. I look back now, and I mean, it was, many, well, 10 years ago or so. But it's, I really believe that, like, when you really truly believe in something and you start to talk about it and spread that message, you start to connect, or people start to come into your life that have the same values or have similar visions, and they want to be part of it. So, yeah, I don't know.
Definitely, I agree on that. So, as a mother, we may not be able to start a business, but we are working and taking care of our families. So, we also need to fill up our cups intentionally. And that's what we talk about in this podcast, too. And you wrote about the seven levels deep method and helping women find their passions and life buckets. Can you kind of explain and walk us through that?
Yeah, so I learned about like the importance of finding your why, which I think you've probably heard about before, and the listeners have, where from the Hyatts, who are a great friend of hers, Michael and Gail Hyatt, and they're big into like finding your why and why you want to do something. So that's the first thing, is like making sure like what your why is. But then I also learned from when I was reading Dean Graziosi's book, I forget what the book, I write about it in the book, what his book title was called. But anyway, I was listening to his audiobook, and he shared about the seven layers deep that he learned from another mentor. And I thought it was super helpful because it's like, basically, it's so simple, but it gets to your why. So it's like asking yourself why something is important seven times. So it's like, if I were to ask me, well, why do you like travel? And then I would say, well, why is traveling important to me? It's important to me because I get to experience other cultures and learn about myself. Well, why is that important to me? Well, I want to learn about other cultures so I can have a broader understanding of the world and become a better person. And it's like, well, why is that more important? And asking that question of, why is that important to you? They say seven times gets close, gets you closer to your true why. Because I think to get down to your true why you really want to do something, you can't stay at the surface. Like, you can't just,
Right,
like,
exactly.
you have to like keep asking yourself. And I remember Stu and I would do this exercise, and years ago, before I got into self-development and building my own businesses, I would be like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, I would never allow myself to go deep enough to get the real reason. And I think you have to be willing to keep asking that question, because we're so good at piling all these layers on, right? Of like things that aren't really important to us, but society thinks they should be important to us, but they're red
Course.
flags. So it's like, it's just so important to get down to those seven layers. And as like Dean mentioned from his mentor, it was the seven layers deep of asking why is it important to you seven times. And then the
Wow.
other what I have in the book is all about, like life buckets. And Jonathan Fields refers to them as life buckets. There's a few authors that do this whole bucket thing that I really love too, because it's about, instead of letting life just happen to us, we can kind of control our life, not control our life, but like create the life that you want, right? Instead of allowing things to happen. So it basically, you take a look at your life and you clarify what's missing and what you want more of. So in a nutshell, Stu and I do this every year, and we sit and we look at our buckets. So for me, I have buckets that I like to fill up. So my bucket, like travel, giving back, me time, reading, like they're all the things or passions that I like to do, family time, like all of those things. And then Stu has his buckets, and some of his buckets are different than mine. And that's good. Like you, to be in a healthy relationship with somebody, you don't want all the same buckets. Like I don't want to be married to someone that likes every single thing like I do. Like I have differences, he have differences, but then we also have joint buckets of where we share things together. So like having an impact, you know, and parenting and how we parent our kids, those are some joint things. Whereas, you know, I like riding the Peloton, but he's obsessed with riding the Peloton. He rides it every day. And but to me, I'm like, okay, 3 times a week mixed with other things are important to me. So it's just important, a way of looking at life in terms of all the things that you love to do and ensuring that each of those buckets is getting filled up. And if it's not, then how can you change it so it is? Like for me, travel has always been important. And Stu's like, he likes to travel, but we often joke that I would be a gypsy and be wandering around the world and if we weren't married. So he's like, how about you put in, you know, a girls trip every year, or you do, you know, and I've traveled by myself, I've traveled with girlfriends, but like you do add that to your bucket where, you know, you do an extra trip or you do something local or something where it fills that up. So it's just a great way of dissecting your life to ensure that you're fulfilled as a couple, as a family, and as yourself.
I love that. I've never heard until I read your book about life buckets. And here I am with my notebook, like, okay, what are my buckets? Do the activity, you know? So I love that. And you've been on some wild travel trips. You've been on some wild things. The one that got me was the motorcycle or whatever across Morocco. Was it Morocco?
Yeah, that was a bit wild. So yeah, I wish COVID, I can't wait till we can kind of travel a bit more again. But yeah, before COVID, I went on a motorcycle trip, and I've never driven a motorcycle in my life. And I went with two friends, and we drove 50cc, so it's like kids motorcycles, across Morocco. And they dropped us off, this adventure company dropped us off in the desert, basically. And we had 7 days to get back to Marrakesh. And all we had was our bikes and our backpacks. No confirmed hotels, no houses to stay at, just us and the bikes. And every night we had to find somewhere to stay. And I mean, we stayed in a couple of hotels. We stayed in people's houses.
Oh my goodness.
it was wild. But for me, I know it's to some people that might sound absolutely crazy. And I mean, but that's truly, like, I love adventure trips like that, because not only like it's fun, but you learn so much about yourself. And the crazy thing is, you come off a trip like that and you're like, wow, like if I can do that, I can do anything. But the crazy thing is, I will do that hands down. I would do it tomorrow again. But standing on a stage and talking to people terrifies me. Like I'm oh, just gosh. Like that. That's really hard for me. But I'll get on a motorcycle and I'll cross Morocco by myself. It's crazy.
Wow. Right? You are definitely living your passion, because I am not that brave. First of all, get on a motorcycle.
Yeah, that was crazy. I crashed a few times. I fell off a few times too, but.
Oh my gosh. It's all good. You made it back alive.
Live and lots of memories.
Yes, definitely need the memories. So some of the women listening are business owners. They have side hustles. Yeah, can you share a practical way people can begin to move from their passions, like a side hustle or a hobby, to a priority?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with that is being, it sounds so simple, but it's, you know, it's being consistent, and it's allowing and giving yourself the time and also getting clear on your message. Like it makes me think of, you know, when I started our charity, it was called World Teacher Aid back in the earlier days. And when we went to Ghana, like I mentioned, we were doing all these different things, and it was like no one really knew what we were doing or what we were, you know, what our message was. So we came back from that, and it's like, we were putting band-aids on stuff, but then our messaging and what we were doing, it wasn't clear. Like, and it was all over the place. So for people that wanted to help or to grow momentum in that charity or in the business, it was hard, right? And like at the end of the day, action, we know action, like clarity comes when you take action. So I'm glad that that happened because it forced us to get clear that, you know, we want to focus on education and build schools with the government. Like that was what we wanted to do at the end of the day. And so then we changed our messaging and it became more clear. And then that opened up the opportunity for people to support us, for people to jump on, and it became clear. But then from that point, it was about, you know, being consistent with that message and using that same messaging on the platforms, on when I talk to people, when I talk to donors, and bringing them in that way. So I think it's, you've got to start, but you've got to be clear on what you're trying to accomplish. And then be consistent with that message. If that answers your question, I feel like maybe
Yeah,
I'm.
it does. It does. Because it kind of goes back to our why, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
So
you.
yes,
Yeah.
definitely makes sense to me. Yeah, finding our why and being clear and consistent. I mean, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah, and I struggle with this, like consistency. I really struggle with that sometimes. Like I find I'm really good and then I just drop off. And then but then it's just about getting on and doing it again. And I think in Atomic Habits they say, right, is like creating the habits. It takes so many days and not to be hard on yourself, but like, you know, you just have to keep working at it.
Yeah, the book Atomic Habits, James Clear breaks it down so well. It's like,
Yeah, he
okay,
totally does.
what is it like by 1% it'll like change or something? I don't know, he has like broken down into percentages.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
he's good.
Love it. So then you have two children. So how do you create balance in your own life being a multi-passionate business owner? I mean, we have three different businesses, kind of different spectrums too. And then having a husband who owns a business, and you're raising two kids. So any tips for the moms listening? How do we create that balance?
Yeah, you know, it can be tricky and it can be hard, but the one thing I would say, and we did this earlier on, is being okay to have help. Like I think a lot of us as women, we struggle with wanting to do everything ourselves, and then we don't want to look like we can't handle it all as a mom. And like, you know, but there's nothing wrong with getting help. But whether that's help, you know, in your business or at home, like when we had Marla, when she was 18 months, we said no to some things in our life to say yes, to be able to, you know, afford to get somebody to come in to clean or to help with laundry. And that, just having that, you know, 10 years ago allowed us time to be more present with our kids. It allowed us time to be more successful in our businesses. Like I really do accredit our success in our businesses and our nonprofit to us getting help in the early stage so we could, you know, focus on having that one-on-one time with the kids, focus on the business when we could. And if it's your business, it's like, I remember when we hired our first person, we said, or Carrie with the charity, I was terrified, but I know that to grow, I needed some help. And I hired her for, I think it was 5 hours a week. And I said, like, I'm just gonna do 5 hours a week, and that's all I can do right now. And now she's like our full-time operations manager. Like it's, you start, but you've got to start somewhere, right? And if you do what's comfortable for you, and you know, 5 hours a week at that time many years ago was good. And then it's grown from there. But I think there's nothing wrong with getting help. You move further when you move together. Like Stu and I work as a team. Like we have our own things that we love to do, but then we also have common goals that we're working towards as a family, as a team. And that's also saying that, there's also another tip is just, you know, staying in your lane and staying with what you're good at. Because like if you were to look at Stu and I, yes, he runs, you know, a very successful business, but he hates details. Like, and in our life, like of our businesses and like everything else, I'm the one that is moving the ship forward, talking to the lawyers, talking to the tax accountants, talking, and that's what I'm doing tonight. Like, 'cause he hates that stuff. Like, and I give him a one-page spreadsheet of like everything, so we're all on the same page. But if I asked him to do some of those behind the scenes things that I do for our family and all the financial planning and all of that, it wouldn't get done because he would avoid it. And it's not because he could absolutely do it. He's a smart guy, but he doesn't like it. It drives him crazy. Like he just wants to know set numbers and that's good. Whereas I tried at the beginning of our relationship to like, let's do it together. Can you do this now? Because I don't really, but it doesn't work. So I take ownership of some parts that I'm not necessarily good at. I just get people that are good at it to help me because I'm so ignorant, right? And then I stay there and he stays in like his what he's good for our family and then the things that we have together. And I think just focusing on our strengths and staying in our lane and doing those things. And another thing would be like setting the boundaries. Like you have to set boundaries and set them early and know that when is family time, when is business time, it's like business time or like those things have to be set and sticking to those and letting the kids know. Like the kids know that dad and I go on dates at these times or after this time is, this rule in your family can be helpful too.
I love that. And do your kids like often travel with you?
Yeah, we take so they our kids are really involved in everything in some ways.
I
Like
love
our
that.
dinner time conversations sometimes are around business, and we talk to them about, not staff, but like, different things we're doing with our staff, whether it's retreats or things that we're doing at the office, or they'll come and they've spoken on stages with Stu.
Wow.
And like my daughter, I think it hit Stu's next event, she's going to do a little presentation because it's kind of
Oh.
crazy because she's grown up seeing Stu on stage, more Stu than myself, but she's always danced on the stage. And then she was doing a little, not emceeing, but she was helping a little bit more this year. And I think next year she'll do a little presentation, maybe. I don't know.
That's
She really likes
awesome.
it though. She loves being on the stage. My son is a bit more shy. He doesn't really love it as much as she does. But yeah, we try to incorporate them as much as we can with the day-to-day. Well, not necessarily the day-to-day, but definitely when we do events and do different things, because I want to show them, I want to show them what's possible for their life by them watching us live ours, right? Like I think as a parent, it's so important to, we tell our kids to dream big and do all these things, but if we don't show them what's possible for life by like us living ours, they won't know what's possible. Like they won't see those things. So it's just really important for both Stu and I to, show up, fail, get back up again, try our best, go after dreams, and talk about all of that with our kids so they can, have an idea of what that could look like for them when they get older.
I think that's awesome. I definitely love that. And my husband runs a business as well, and we've incorporated our children. He's had my son do like invoices for him. He's a teenager, so it's like, do an invoice. I'll show you how to do it. So I think that's
So good.
awesome.
Well, I just actually this or the last 6 months, I've had Marla to earn some extra money. She's calling some of our donors and just to say thank you for your contribution to Village Impact. And there's lots of little ways, right? I think we can incorporate our kids into it, and they learn so much. Like, invoicing is such a great, it's like those skills too that school in some ways doesn't teach. It's
No,
something
not
where it's
anymore.
like, oh, it's so good for them.
I love it. I love in creating that balance. So very good tips. So do you have any advice for like busy women, whether they have children or not, who are trying to stay the course and chasing their passions?
Yeah, just it's just committing to it. And
Okay.
if you're kind of somebody that feels like they're not sure what they're passionate about and you're going back and forth, an exercise that I have is, doing a passion timeline. It's looking back in your life, drawing a straight line and doing like increments of 10, like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. And go back and look at what you were doing in your 20s. Look at what you were doing in your 30s or 40s or your teenager years, and there's probably a common thread of something that maybe got lost because life just got busy. And then I think the thing is picking something like focusing on that and sprinkling that into your life and following that. Because I do believe that, when you talk about my book is like passion to purpose, it's like your purpose is your passion. Your passion is your unique contribution to this world. And then that becomes your purpose. Like, I think they're both like aligned, they're both attached in that way. Like, when we follow what we're passionate about or what we love to do, it becomes what ultimately is our purpose at the end of the time. But I think it's just, it is sprinkling that more into your life or following a little bit and not ignoring it, because a lot of people will ignore, things that light them up, or they're not sure, or they're like, oh, I don't have time for that. But you've got to make time. You have to be intentional with your time to follow things that you enjoy. And that doesn't mean changing your whole life and changing
Right.
things, but you have to follow those things, and you have to commit to it and put it on your calendar and be consistent with it, for sure.
Definitely love that. And I like the little timeline activity too. So
Yeah,
hopefully,
it's just so simple, right? But I think a lot of men don't, they just get busy. And that's who I wrote the book for too. It's like women that, they used to be so passionate about stuff, and then they have children, they have businesses, and then all of a sudden, like 15 years later, they have put everybody else first but themselves. And then they're like, oh no, like, how did I get here? Like, what? Like, where is the 10 years gone? So if you often go back and just take a look, I think the answers are there, and we know, but it's a matter of being intentional and allowing, just doing it and allowing that to come back into our life and focusing on that, whether it may be a paint class or your business that you're working on a little more, whatever it may be.
Nice. So you kind of went into the next question I have for you about you define passion and then defining purpose. So
Yeah.
what would you your ultimate definition of purpose be?
Purpose, purpose is like your impact in the world. It's what you're doing to create more good in the world. And passion and purpose look different for everybody. There's no right or wrong way. Nobody's passion or purpose is too big or too small. Everybody is like uniquely their own. And purpose is, how you're doing more good in the world. And I really believe that by following what you truly love to do, then becomes your purpose in your own unique way. So when I look at my life, it's like I've always been an obsessed traveler. Like, I love traveling, I love giving back. And I follow those breadcrumbs to creating Village Impact, which has now, become quite a large organization that has been able to give back to others. And that's become the purpose for that. I look at, my creating experiences for people. I've been creating experiences for people since I've been a kid. Like, I did summer camp for my whole community when I was like 13 years old. And like creating these experiences in my mastermind, and the Lady Strength is something I love to do, my trips, with my donors. And like all of those things now have an impact because they have ripple effects. And we incorporate giving back within like Lady Strength for giving, free trips away, or and so little things like that. Because I think that's how you can give and how you can have an impact, is with by using your passion and what you're passionate about to do more good in the world. And that's it kind of leads to, why I wrote the book at the end of the day, because I would get off some stages and men and women would come up to me and they're like, I really want to, I don't have the funds right now to start a charity, or I don't have a big enough business to do this yet, or there's all these excuses. And for me, it's like, you don't, I used to get so frustrated because I'm like, you don't have to start a charity to make an impact. You don't have to start a business to make an impact. You don't have to have $10 to have an impact. Like, there are so many ways that we can contribute to someone's life. We can contribute to a community. We can contribute to the world by just showing up, by just smiling, just being present in somebody's life. Like, opening the door for somebody can make somebody's day. Do you know what I mean? All those little things are just so important that I was like, you can have an impact doing what you're passionate about. Like, and you just don't have to do these things. Yes, I chose to start several businesses in my nonprofit, but I really enjoy it, and that's what I love to do, and it lights me up. But to someone that is a teacher, they're having an impact every day in the kids that they're teaching, and going
Definitely.
that extra mile. Like, an accountant is making somebody's life so much better because they're really good at numbers. So it's like we all have our impact, and it really is related to, what we're passionate about and how we can use that passion to bring more joy to people.
Definitely. And to kind of piggyback on your teacher statement, I always knew teachers were important, of course. But I think in the last 18 months or so, we didn't realize how much an impact teachers have on our
Oh,
children.
yes, for sure.
Oh my goodness. When schools closed down last March, like, got the email saying, sorry, we're closing schools. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, I
And then
know.
trying to become an actual teacher at home for several kids. I have a lot of children, but I was losing my mind.
No, you and me both. Last year, I was ready to, and
No.
I taught for 10 years, but there's teaching other kids and then your own kids are completely different. And yeah, I'm not,
Definitely.
I give all to the homeschooling moms that do that. I just like, it's amazing. And like, I personally couldn't do it. I'm not my best version of myself when I'm doing that because I'm not passionate about it. When we're passionate about it, you're the best version of yourself. And I want to be the best version of myself for my kids and for my husband, for my family and my community. And when I stay in my lane and I'm doing what I'm passionate about, that's the best version of me. Homeschooling my kids, oh man, I feel sad for them. It wasn't my best days.
No, definitely was not my lane. So I love stay in your own lane because teachers, you were awesome.
Yeah.
If that's your passion, go for it. Definitely. So you write about legacy, like your last chapter, one of your last chapters about leaving a legacy. Can you tell us what does leaving a legacy mean to you?
Yeah, so I love this word legacy because legacy to me is not it's not necessarily naming a building. And I mean, don't get me wrong, that is phenomenal. It's great to name a building after someone or something or for yourself. But legacy to me, it's all the little things we do every day that lead to the legacy. It's all those little impacts that we make daily that then lead to our legacy, right? It's the pleases, it's the thank yous, it's how we make people feel on a daily basis that then leads to your legacy. So I think oftentimes people get kind of all worked up that it's this big thing. And it is, but it's so simple. It's really how we choose to show up for other people, how we choose to show up for ourselves. And it's all of those little things connected and put together that at the end of the day create your legacy. And it can start to be created today. Like we're creating it right now for what it will be.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to read you like one of your own words.
Yeah, no, that's good. I love it. I was hoping you would, because I love hearing what people have pulled out and what they most resonate.
Yeah, so and I have like a little sticky tab that says don't ignore your dreams, but you said, I'm here to tell you that what you love matters. Don't ignore your dreams, especially when it comes to how you want to leave a mark on this world. We live in turbulent times, but they are also times of great opportunity. And you said every single one of us is being called upon to bring our full engagement, creativity, courage, and talents to life. That definitely stood out to me. And so, with that, I want to ask you, are there any last words of wisdom for listeners in going from passion to purpose?
Oh, just keep following it. Keep following it. Keep following what you love because it does truly lead to so many possibilities of things that can happen in your life, like personal, business. It just opens up possible. Like passion is possibility. And when you're in that passion, things will open up because you create this amazing energy when you're truly passionate about what you love, and you can change people's lives with it.
I love that. And where can listeners find you and connect with you? Because I could just talk to you all day about this.
Yeah, I know, it's so fun. So you can connect with me. I'm on Instagram at Amy Dow McLaren. Still got my maiden name in there, which is Dow. It sounds British, right? VillageImpact.com is our charity, and Lady Strength. We have a Facebook Lady Strength group that's there too. And then, Passion to Purpose book is where you can find all the good things related to the book and bonuses that we have for that too.
Definitely. And I'll definitely link all of that in the show notes as well. So the women and mothers listening can find you and connect with you. And so I always ask all of my guests, what book are you currently reading besides your own? And what is your evening routine or practice that you live by?
Yeah, so it's funny. I'm actually rereading the Atomic Habits one because I'm really adamant that I'm trying to get into a better habit in the morning of my couple of different exercise things I want to do and taking my vitamins instead of forgetting about them. So I'm rereading his book to try and do that again. And then my night, is it my nighttime routine, you said?
Yeah, your evening routine.
Yeah. So my evening routine is basically once the kids are to bed, Stu and I will connect. We sometimes it kind of fluctuates, but sometimes we do in a Netflix binge and we've been watching some shows. But the one thing I always do is it sounds funny, but I love to stretch. And I do a certain stretch and drink a herbal tea. And then usually read a bit more if I'm reading, or sometimes I go to bed. I try to quiet my mind because I'm the type of person that I'm always five things ahead. Like I'm always thinking, my mind is always racing about all these different things. And my husband is not that way. And he can go to bed and fall asleep in a second. And I will want to be like, woo, and talk about all the five million things going through my head. So I'm really personally working hard in the last like 6, 7 months to kind of make sure I stretch, but then just calm my mind down and shut down my computer and all the things that you hear, the computer, the phone, put it all away and try. But it's I'm trying to, but sometimes it's a little hard.
It's the habit
The
stacking, the
habit,
James
and that's
Clear. Yes.
exactly, and that's why I am rereading it because I think since the book launched, I am. Things have been a bit crazy and busy, and we've been moving. Like I'm in our new home, and we have no furniture, and
Nice.
I'm kind of we're a bit all over the place. So I'm kind of revisiting those habits and the book, but it's definitely the stretching, which is huge for me, just as I'm getting older. But just to make sure I do that, and then drinking some type of herbal tea versus my Earl Grey before I go to bed, just
Nice.
getting my mind down as much as I can.
Do you journal?
I used to, and then I don't do it as much anymore. I find I couldn't personally get into journaling. I know a lot of people say it's really helpful, and I do journal when if I wake up at night and I have an idea, I do write that down or keep it there, but I haven't journaled on a regular basis. Like it kind of comes up and like I do it sometimes and then I don't and I do it so yeah, but I haven't.
Yeah, my mind races a lot at night too, and I always have ideas. My husband's the same way. I think it's just men. As soon as they hit the pillow, they're out.
Yeah,
And so I want to talk too, but I write it down and talk about it the
well, that's it. But I don't know how they do that. We've talked so many
No.
times, and he just falls asleep. And I'm like, wow, I guess he was really interested in what I had to
It's
say.
just men.
Yeah,
It's a man thing.
for
We're
sure.
moms. We have mom brain. We can't just turn our brains off. So that's what that is.
Absolutely.
Well, Amy, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Definitely. Yeah. So once again, I will link all of your information in the show notes, especially a link to your book so everyone can grab a copy and yeah, and connect with you.
Yeah, well, thank you. And thank you for everyone listening. I hope some you found it helpful. And thank you so much for sharing a bit out of my book as well.
No problem. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Mama's Morning Cup. I would love to hear more from you on the topics you want to hear. Head to MMC Podcast link in the show notes and let me know in the comments what you want to hear next. See you all next time.